Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. It's good to see us all here today. Amen. And thank you so much for the worship. Yes, worship team, thank you. And Pastor, thank you so much. Amen. Yes. So last week on Sunday. Okay, first of all, I want to thank God that I was able to come up with a PowerPoint presentation. Hallelujah. Yes. This is my PowerPoint. Glory to God. Let me first turn and look at it and just come down and say, it worked, Mark. Thank you so much. Amen. So I thank God that as I was preparing for this Sunday service, an idea came to me at a very bad time. You know, when you're really tired, you have done your thing, and an idea comes and you're like, but I just was going to sleep. And I really felt it in my spirit. Do a PowerPoint. And I'm like, no, God, I hope it's not you. I hope it is, you know, Ebiangi. But you know those things where you're like, no, you have to actually listen to that voice. So I went ahead and did the PowerPoint presentation and I sent it forth. And yes, Christine printed it. Thank you so much. Yeah, and thank you, Christine and Mark. Amen. So last week we looked at the God who rewards. And this is just a simple recap, yeah? And we defined rewards coming from Hebrews 11:6, saying, the Bible says that, but without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. And he who comes before him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that is where we started from in scripture reference. And we defined reward as recognition of service or effort or achievement. And we also talked about who and why does God reward us? Who are those? Who are them? Who are they that God rewards? And we agreed that these are believers. Then why does God actually reward? Because human beings, the way we are, the way we work, is that we work by motivation and incentives. That is number one. You earn salaries, you earn something, you earn points, you earn bonuses, the 13th check. All those things are rewards, yeah, for the work that you do at your places of work. Even us here in LAT, God rewards us. Glory to God. Parents, when people get married, children come in form of rewards, yeah, for them honoring that covenant. Glory to God. So we looked at rewards. As we looked at why God rewards people, and we agreed, I hope, that because we are human beings, we work by motivation and incentive. But also, when you have a reward system in place, it makes your life and the way you do your things more predictable. Nobody tell you, akaira kumacha, to work for nothing. If you, and you will see it when you start, when you're with people who are working for, maybe, by the way, actually remember that most of some people strike because, again, of the poor reward system, you know. Some people strike, some people complain, they go on the streets. And why is it that they go on the streets and they do all these things, trade unions and all those things? It's because there is a problem usually with the reward system and they're trying to say, neda, this is not commensurate to our effort. And we went on to describe, Jesus tells us in Revelation 12:22, behold, I am coming quickly, and I will reward everyone according to their work, to their labor. Glory to God. Jesus tells us that he is coming with a reward. Amen. And then we looked at what does God reward. And there were only three things: diligence, faithfulness, and God rewards our works. Amen. And we concluded by saying, LAT, we got where we are because of mainly those three things, those principles that guide the way God rewards us. Hallelujah. Amen. So today, we're just going to talk about the part two, which is eternal rewards. Hallelujah. There are rewards, there are categories of rewards. There are rewards on earth, but there are also rewards in heaven. Now, rewards on earth, sometimes they are very obvious. especially with Christians. You reap what you sow, and what you put in is what you get. Those are principles, and in a sense, I one time heard someone calling them blind principles, in the sense that it doesn't matter who engages the principle, it will actually work. It's a principle. It's like sowing and reaping. You plant maize, you're going to reap maize. You cannot plant maize and you reap beans. You reap what you have sowed. Those are blind principles. Techiri munti spirit, like who a Muslim, a Christian, in a sense, there is a way in which those principles are what we operate by. It's like a principle of gravity. You go into a big building and you want to defy gravity, gravity will speak back to you. Hallelujah, kwezi. Yeah? Gravity will speak back to you in a certain way that you may not actually be able to speak back. Glory to God. So, those, and it's the same thing with the reward principles of God. I realized that the reason why last week I talked about only three things, in my opinion, these are things that work on earth and concerning rewards on earth and concerning rewards in heaven. And those are the three things, faithfulness, diligence, faithfulness, and our works that God bases on to see what we shall get, whether here in this life now or in the life to come. Amen? So today we are talking about eternal rewards. And like I said last week, my understanding of how God rewards us has grown over the years in LAT. This is one of the areas I have grown and I'm so proud of, like the work that God has done in my life. Why? Because when I joined LAT, like I mentioned last week, I was those people who, yeah, seek the Lord, walk by, you know yourself by grace. And I was so scared, finally I can see, and I was so scared of you know, seeking God for the reward, like always being, you know, seeking God for the reward, and I forget that in a way I kind of felt like the rewards, when I see God for the reward, that will take the place of his grace in my life. So I didn't want oblokolo. But thank God that under the teaching of Pastor Moses, shepherding us through the years, my understanding of this has grown. And so now I've come back to you with part two, that is eternal rewards. Amen. And I'm just going to share with you a few things. And specifically today, we are going to look at who gives out the rewards. Who gives out the rewards? Is it, do angels reward us? Do spirits, does God reward us? Does Jesus reward us? Does the Holy Spirit reward you? Who actually gives out these rewards? And where are they given out from? In eternity, where is that place where we shall be given the rewards from? You know, these are very simple questions, but I dare you, go to Google. You'll find so many answers concerning these very simple things. Then in the reward, when we are being rewarded, who will be there? Yeah, is this for everyone? Who will be there exactly? And then the three things that will happen before what we shall look at as the judgment seat of Christ. Then lastly, the rewards, the different types of rewards in eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what we are going to talk about today. And so, I'm going to ask her not to put up this slide. Yeah? Because when you're talking, you see, when you're doing a PowerPoint presentation and you have everything there, people don't look at you. They instead look at the what? The PowerPoint. So, we are going to do mixture. Yeah? Thankfully, it's not my first time to do a PowerPoint presentation, so I know and I can see people even like this. Eh? Every time, like maybe I walk towards this side and I stand in the wall of the PowerPoint, you see someone bending to see. So we are going to try to circumvent that. I'm going to save your necks. Hallelujah. Yeah. So who gives out the rewards? That was the first thing. Who gives out the rewards? 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. From this scripture, we see that it's actually the Lord Jesus Christ who will give out the rewards. All right? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, not anyone else. You know, sometimes you listen to prophetic people and they tell you how they went and a certain spirit that came. Maybe that spirit represents something, but there are sometimes when tuchisusa and we lose people. They're like, you know, I got a white stone. I got a ring. There is some guy, a prophet, who said, no, he's not a prophet actually. He's a fraud of a guy, yeah? He said, Oba, he went where? Oba, he went to India. I think Pastor sent me that record. Oba, this guy went to India. Then Oba, he was given a ring. Then Oba, that ring is supposed to do what? But there was an angle of he had done so much work for the Lord, and now he deserved to be given that ring. And that ring had power. So I'm like, hey, this guy. But he was, you know, really charismatic in the way he was speaking his message. And I'm like, but where did you get your reward from? Now, you see, when you're a believer, the reason why we have to be clear about who gives rewards is that, by the way, even the devil rewards. You, the devil rewards. But also, your own works will reward you. I know that there are three things that will produce result in our lives. God, when you let him. The devil, when you let him. And some things come simply as a result of the principle of what you sowed is what you have reaped. But many times you hear Christians saying, you know, maybe it's the devil, it is the word, it is which demon. But because we don't have a place where the demons will come and say, you know, sometimes even you lie about demons and they're like, really? I did that? Seriously? Because tewali wolopa, that, you know, it was, the devil will not come and kulumiriza you, that is not me. Yeah? So sometimes we put the rewards, what we reap from what we sow on the devil, yet it was just, you went, you did something wrong, and maybe probably you didn't sleep, so you came to church, you didn't sleep early, or you didn't have enough sleep. Then you come to church, and guess what? You'll be sleepy. And when you ask, panange, nabe yabada tambulam bantu, yeah? You know, me, I've been in churches where, hey, omulaba tambulam bantu, ba, beba, kamalep naik, but why don't they just try and go to bed early, yeah? This is not demonic. They just have to go to bed early, and especially when you're dealing with youths, because as in the youth ministry, yeah? At one point, you get somewhere and you see the kids, the youths, the teenagers sleeping. They have been up about watching what? They went to bed late. And they're like, you know what? Banabana, we have to pray for them. Deliverance session. Come. Next time, that spirit that makes you sleep in the presence of God, why don't you just start by go to bed early? Then when you come, let's see how that works. Then when you come, we shall see if it is actually your sleeping habits, or it is the devil. So, but talking about eternal rewards, it is Jesus Christ who will give us the rewards. Glory to God. None other than Jesus Christ who will give us our rewards in eternity. 2 Corinthians 5:10, put that one up. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Here it says, for we must all appear before what? The judgment seat of who? Of Christ. So who is going to sit on that judgment seat? It will be Christ. And he is the one who will be giving us each one according to what we have done. Very clear. Glory to God. Amen. So when you think about your eternal rewards, think about Jesus and having to receive your reward from him. What does that look like for you? Then, where will they be given out from? Heaven. Heaven. Their eternal rewards, they'll be given out from heaven. Where is the judgment seat of Christ? It is somewhere in heaven. I wish I was prophetic to tell you, to give you the coordinates for this judgment seat of Christ, but I don't have them. But I know for sure that it is there in Namulondo Jeri. Yeah? And there is someone who will sit on it. Even right now, there is someone on that seat. But in that time, in that moment, in that hour, on that day, when it comes to the time of reward, you'll actually clearly see him. Glory to God. So you're sure that you're going to see Jesus. Amen. At least, you know, when you think about the judgment seat of Christ, it is not something that is shrouded in mystery, that there is smoke, and you just, you know, you maybe a hand just comes out. I think that's what people think. Eh? But from what I have read, it's actually a seat. It's a throne. It's a seat. Glory to God. And there is someone on it, and we shall see him when we are being rewarded. And that person is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So these eternal rewards will be given out from heaven. These things sound so simple, but well, we have to get there. So who will be there on that day when we are being rewarded? Who will be there? Put it up. All believers, first of all, you will be there. When you make it to heaven, this is the judgment, one of the judgments I know that believers have to go through. You'll have to go through that judgment where Jesus weighs your works. Hallelujah. Where your works are weighed. Number two, who else will be there? There'll be an audience. You know, God rewards. There is something that I think one time I told Sam, because he came to me. God does not reward in private. God, by the way, he rewards in, he honors people in public because he knows that you have paid a very big price for whatever you have done. So in honor and acknowledgement, there is no reward. You see, a reward to make sense, it has to be done before an audience, not about like, yes, you can reward someone in your office, but eventually it will come out. All right? So there is an aspect of an audience. Glory to God. There is always an aspect of an audience. Whether it is an obvious audience like this one or people getting to know that you are rewarded, it will always be there. Two ways. Either before people, if someone comes and says, Joanne, I want to give you a crown, I step forth and I have they put a crown on my head. Or, on the other hand, it can be done in private, but eventually it will come out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there will be, I think, in my opinion, a cloud of witnesses. People to witness for the things that we have done. Hebrews 12:1, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And so the Bible tells us, let us therefore lay aside any sin that so easily ensnares us. Where do you think these people will be? They'll also be there. Glory to God. Moses will be there. The elders will be there. The disciples of Jesus will be there because of the people that surround the judgment seat. Remember, the Bible talks about Jesus, the thrones that surround the different thrones, the small thrones, when you go to Revelations, that surround the big throne of God. Okay, the big white throne. There are other thrones. And on those thrones sits 12 judges, and those are the disciples of Jesus who are with him, because he promised them that when they join him, that is where they will sit. And they judge over the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. You do your Bible study, you find it. Romans 14:10. It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand. When I was going through this, my husband said, but what there shows that we are Christians. Let me tell you, every time you're reading the Bible and you come across brother and sister, it is brethren, it refers to the people who are saved, the beloved, the saints. Eh? So I told him, and I'm telling you today, when he says that, but why do you judge your brother? It simply means, why do you judge your fellow believer? All right? And why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all, when he said we shall all, he also put himself in there, Paul. Said we shall all, meaning all of us who are born again. We shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Please don't display this one. So 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. Therefore, we make it our aim whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Again, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that they will all, there are no excuses. This is a class you're going to have to show up for, as long as you're born again. Amen? There's nothing like, for me, God, I came late. No. You're going to show up. You're going to show up before the judgment seat of Christ. And these are things that make it serious for us. And that is why I think we should put so much emphasis on working for eternal rewards than the physical ones. Because you see, the physical one, someone can mess it, up. Your reward, someone, God sends you money, and someone takes that money and uses it for something. And that money was supposed to be your reward for maybe a dress, and someone messes it up. And maybe you may not even get an opportunity to get a redemption reward, yeah? You may not be redeemed. That is it. It won't come back. Yeah? But let me tell you, what cannot go and not come back is your reward in eternity. And sometimes, when that happens in the physical, we as Christians, when we seemingly lose what we thought was going to be a reward in the physical, we become so discouraged as Christians. And you're like, but you see, things are not working out for me. A very good case in point is, for example, we know that the Bible tells us that children are a reward from God, the fruit of the womb is a reward. But we all know that there are people who, for one reason or another, haven't been able to get children in this physical life. I think I remember reading Anna Rontree. It was her. Her experience of how actually in life she never had children, but she had her husband, yeah? At one point she had her husband, but she never had children. But God told her that he'll give her numerous children, numerous. But he actually meant the children who will come to know Jesus Christ, yeah? The people who will come, the souls that will come to know Jesus Christ through her. So in a sense, he was saying that she will birth all those people, all right? When you look at the promise that God gave Abraham, all right, you could think that Abraham should have sired so many children, like so many. But you see, he said, through him, nations are going to come out of you. You would think, man, this guy is going to have so many children. But the things of God are not like that. There was a spiritual angle to it. And for him, his reward is us. Abraham, the reward was us. Glory to God. Through, of course, his son, Isaac. Now, Anna Rontree said, in her account, she said that there are times when she would wait to conceive and things don't happen. But then later, I think even her relationship, for whatever reason, didn't work out. Her marriage didn't work out. And so now she devoted the rest of her life to serving God. But every time a soul would come to Christ through her, she would feel like she has actually birthed that soul. Now, it's very possible for us as Christians to feel like, since I don't have these children, yeah, man, there is nothing. My life is just that. Yeah. But I'd like to encourage us that sometimes when it's so seeming like it seems like you have not got the reward you feel you should have got, or say for example, you die before you get your reward, because also that can happen. You die before you get your earthly reward. It doesn't mean that the one in heaven is not there. Hallelujah. So that is why we should look at, because we are eternal beings. We are eternal beings. The day you get born again, you know for sure that you have a spirit, soul, and body, and you're there to live in eternity. That your spirit will never die, okay? And you're going to be in eternity much longer than here on earth. It doesn't matter if you lived 100 years on earth, you'll be in eternity much longer. It doesn't matter for our forefathers that lived 900 years. They are still there in eternity. In the spectrum of time, that 900 years is very little compared to where they are now. Hallelujah. So that is why, if you know that the life after this life on earth, where the body goes, if you know that that is what will count longer, what does that imply? That as a Christian, you should work for the eternal rewards. Amen? There are many people, again, and it's not a bad thing, people who plan for their future financially. They plan, they invest, they do what? And they save. Everything pretty much that we do in school, you put your children in a good school so that they can have a fair chance when they grow up. If they don't become stupid, they'll have a fair chance and they'll be citizens of what? What does Sam keep telling his children? Of good character, noble character, yeah? So, you realize that people in life, it's so easy to work for even to be a tulaba ko, things that you can see with your eyes, things that you can touch. That when you type in a certain number on your phone, you will see, now this is what I have on the account, and you feel so happy. It gives you joy that, this year I was able to save this much. Get a statement from NSSF, people who have been here, people who have worked very long in parastatals. There is someone I know who I'm very sure me and Sam would be there same, but I think she has like over 3 billion. She has worked for a very long time. It's a she, glory to God. They were like, So would imagine, what does that statement look like? Because NSSF sends statements. I hope you get your monthly statements. I do. So every time you even see the interest, you're like, this is good. But it doesn't matter how many billions you have with NSSF. It doesn't matter how many facilities you have, but maybe you've invested in bonds, in shares, in what? All those things have an expiry date. If you can manage to do those things for your future here on earth, how much more for your future after that, in the afterlife? That means that you have to work for it. It is so bad for us as Christians to work for everything material, which is not bad, and you forget the eternal perspective. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are saying here, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 9 to 10, that we, for all of us, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done according to their flesh in body. Yeah? And so, number 4, what 3 things must happen before the judgment seat of Christ? What are those things that will happen before the judgment seat of Christ? When we talk about this seat, what comes to your mind? Is it, Joanne, come forth here, Twala, Genda? No. There are things that will happen. And for those 3 things, please do not put up this slide because I can see my people are very sharp. For those 3 things, let me just go through them. Number 1, there'll be an evaluation and a testing of our works. And I'm going to show you how. Number 2, unproductive works will perish, and some believers will suffer loss and shame. Number 3, the productive works will be rewarded. Glory to God. Does that sound simple? Mm-hmm. That there will be an evaluation of our works. It's not just someone coming and reading a list. Jane Smith, come forth. Here is yours, Genda. No. The Bible is clear about what will happen. There'll be a testing and an evaluation of what you did. That means that there'll be a scrutinization of the work that you're doing right now. That means that also Jesus is watching. Heaven is watching. Those witnesses are watching you every day. And that work is going to come under scrutiny. It's going to be evaluated. Then that what is unproductive? What doesn't meet God's standards and quality? That will perish. Okay? But when that work perishes, guess what? You will have lost something concerning your reward. Some people will suffer shame. But they themselves, remember, you'll have made it to heaven. So there is nothing like hell for you at that point. For you, you'll be saved. You'll still be in heaven. But guess what? Your reward won't be as big as it should have been. Then the productive works will be rewarded. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Let's display this scripture. I would like us to go from verse 5. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 5. Yeah, okay. Now, whenever we read this scripture, okay, let's first read it. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a master wise builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. I want up to 15, yes. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Go back to verse 5. The context of this scripture, many times we use it, of course, to teach about rewards. But really, essentially, the context that Paul was telling the Corinthians is, for us who work in the ministry of building up the saints. Okay, because he says the context here is ministering, and how do we build the saints? Through proper doctrine. So yes, on one hand, he was addressing, because Apollos was also, remember, he also talks about having a special grace as a wise master builder in his office as an apostle, right? But then here he also talks about Apollos. If you read about Apollos, he was a minister of the gospel, all right? And he used to teach. And God had given him that special grace. So this whole chapter, this whole context up to 18, the very first thing it appeals to is, for us who teach, if you're a shepherd, if you're a shepherd in one way or the other, your works are going to be tested. Were you teaching? What kind of doctrine were you using when you were building the house of God? Okay, so there is a test in doctrine. But also, more relevant to what I'm teaching today is the part on the rewards. This very thing, you can't say that it's only teachers, apostles who come before the judgment seat of Christ. Even you, you're out there, you work in a bank, you're out there, you work wherever you work, Makere, in a school. I'm trying to see where people, different people, wherever you guys work, let me tell you, this very scripture also applies to you. And remember the other three things that I told you have to happen, you're also going to go through that. Amen? So we can pick from what Paul says and apply it to your life. In this judgment, before the judgment seat of Christ, this judgment of rewards, or this judgment where rewards are given, it is not a punitive reward and it's not unto punishment or condemnation. It is simply, you see, like how children get rewards at the end of the term, they are not condemned. They shouldn't be like what I went through, okay, when I was in that school where I said we had to make lines of the first, the best five, the last five. In a way, that was honestly, that was really punishment, being in that line of the last five for a whole term, for a whole month, yeah? But this judgment is not, for us who are Christians, it's not unto punishment, but it's simply an evaluation of the work that you have done. Is that clear? Yes? So it's not like, oh, you got this reward, so you're going to be punished like this. No. This is not the place for that. The judgment seat of Christ is not a place for that, for punishment. It's not a place for condemnation. So because the Lord is a righteous judge, okay, bofune mpera yo, there will not be need, whenever you get your reward, there will not be need to go to a court of appeal and say, but I really feel like Jesus, you cheated me. Yeah? There's nothing like that. On that day, there will not be PIP, yeah? Performance Improvement Plan, Joan. No, it will be done, it will be done. You've come before the judgment seat, so there's nothing like, oh, you're questioning the justice of God. And also, you'll be satisfied with what you have heard. Why? Because it has been tested. You have also seen, and the judgment of God is righteous. Glory to God. So there is nothing like, you know, sometimes, yesterday we were talking about how some parents, I was somewhere, it was the birthday of a relative, and mothers were talking, you know, as mothers, and this lady said her, but there are some mothers, they even go to school and they say, for me, my child, how could my child get these marks? Yeah, my child has a special, it's like their understanding is not, even the mothers can't believe that their child scored certain marks, yeah? And they're like, for me, I think they should have got, instead of getting this award, they should have gotten this one. So now they are there dispensing justice, but they're not with their children the whole day, yeah? So it made me remember what I was preparing to teach. And this lady said, but Banange, also us women, like mothers, they don't go there saying, for me, my child should have got this, what. However, in this system, the justice system of this earth, I can tell you, and we all know, that sometimes it's unfair, that you actually have to go and say, but you know, my child has been cheated. Hallelujah. Let me use an example of what happened to a child in this church. So we go, it was Dennis and Christine, and it was Christina. So she goes, it was during convention where there are all these activities that take place, sports and whatnot. So we were there, you guys. Christina, stand up. Let everyone see you. Yes. So Christina is there. She's the Mujimba's daughter. So she was running a race, and now, you guys have never seen their mother in Christine, eh? Christine was at the front line waiting for her daughter like this. Dennis was what? The phone. Me and Pastor and Sam were like, yes, Christina. You guys, Christina bolted, yeah? With her whole heart. And she won that race. Ha! We were all happy. We clapped. We ululated. We what? Then now we waited for the time of rewarding medals. You know when you're like, the first children, you don't even know those children because there are so many schools. So now they keep calling them so and so in this category, gold. In this category, silver. In this category, bronze. We waited for Christina's name to be read. Nothing. You know, I remember seeing, then he said, Christine was like, Dennis, I don't know what we are going to tell Christina because she won the what? She won the race. So even me as they are saying, but well, Christina won that race. Why wasn't her name on the board? What? Do you know what they did? Remember the video that that Dennis took? He went armed with his video. Thank God for smartphones. He went armed with his video. He said, you see the time at which she crossed the line? Where is the name? Like for me, you show me the time you had put on her. Because, of course, when they would cross the whatever, of course, they put the time. He's like, you see here. So he gave them video evidence, yeah, of the daughter winning. And now even Christina is saying, yes, in fact, even that day, she was even the first one to be taken. You even told us what? Now she wasn't read. And you know what? She ended up getting her what? Her medal. Glory to God. Amen. That is the justice system of this world. Me, I don't know what had happened that day. Yeah? But we are not going to recover from it. We're all like, hey. We're all like, what? Like, for real, that girl, she was the first one to hit that, I don't know, that don't know what it's called, yeah? The what? It's not a rope psalm, but mukategede. It's not a rope, engineer, but you know. Eh? She was the first one to hit it. So the parents of the girl went and said, please, this is the girl one. Where is the medal? She wasn't put up there. And Christina got her medal. Now, that is the how the world operates. You can get played in this world with your reward. You can get played. Someone can play your reward. The devil can mess you up. Yeah, people can cheat. Someone can just switch the names. You're supposed to get this promotion and someone switches the name. You're like, but it's like as if, and it happens very quickly. Like, but didn't I last week, didn't I see my name up? How come now my name is down here? Those things have happened. You go and you're like, but someone has played with the system. How come the other time, what I have here on my phone, what was sent as the list of people maybe who qualify for this, I was number 3, but on this one which has been displayed, how come I am like number 9? Ngapo have put in their people what, and even they have changed your marks. But in heaven, before the judgment seat of Christ, that won't be there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? That can imagine being here and you're thinking, you know, they may switch results in heaven, the things may turn. That system there, it's not really clear. Today you may think that you're doing well, but tomorrow, that reward system can't be trusted. In heaven, it's not there. Glory to God. You will get what you deserve, and it will be righteous and truthful judgment. Amen? Amen. So here it says that when we build, we can build with different materials. Okay? There is gold, there is silver, precious stone, wood, and hay and straw. Technically, when you look at these materials, they are used, they have different value and of different quality. Wood cannot work the same as hay or precious stones or gold. Okay? But there are things that we can do on earth, in our works, that can either make your work of value and quality to God or inferior. Glory to God. And they are not meeting his standards. Okay? And these are the things where our works will be scrutinized. If you want to have great works in heaven, first of all, I'll tell you, work on the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Those are the things that our works will be tested by. Be excellent in the things that you do. You know, don't do work that is like, don't do work that is that falls below par, and you think that God is going to look at that and he'll be happy in heaven. No. Okay? But also remember, I said that the rewards, I think I said this last Sunday, that our rewards are directly connected to our callings. Okay? The Apostle Paul was waiting for his reward as an apostle. Who do you say you are when you leave this place? Whatever you think you say you, whatever you think you are, or whatever God has told you you are, you're going to be appraised according to that. If you're in P1, you'll have an appraisal for P1. If you're in whatever school, you have an appraisal according to that school that you're in. So whatever you're doing, whether it is in church, in ministry, or outside there, you know that actually there are things that you can do there in that space according to the grace that God has given you. If you don't work well with it, you can produce an inferior work that does not meet the standards of God. So you can build with hay, you can build with straw. And fire is used, you know, when we think about fire and the purpose of fire, usually according to scripture, it's to purify, it's to test. Okay? So it's possible for you to do so many things, like you have so many followers. For us who are in ministry, you have so many people in your church, and God said, actually, no, you have 4. You have only discipled 4, but ngakweku social media, Spire is even talking about you. Yeah? This person, Spire has a week about you because you have the great numbers. Then when you go to heaven, Jesus said, but I told you, I called you to disciple my sheep, my children. And you know how many you discipled? Four. For you're here getting accolades that you're discipling 1,000. Okay? But there are things that will make, like again going back to that point, there are things that can make your work inferior. There are things that can make your work meet the standard of God. Things like gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit basically, excellence in the things that you do. Giving yourself, you know, when I was preparing this, and I just felt like God telling me, do a PowerPoint, please. I was like, you know what, God, eh? But then I'm like, but then I remembered, Johan. Okay, for if God told you that he's going to give you a reward for today's sermon, how would you change it? Very quickly, I jumped onto the PowerPoint. I'm like, you know what? Can I take a muko PowerPoint in the bay? In the bay, what will I score before God? So trying to be excellent, giving yourself, investing time to develop that gift, to be better at the things that God has told you to do, that also will earn you a reward. Hallelujah. That also can change your works from building with straw to now gold because you have invested your time. When they give you money, instead of taking it in the kaviri, yeah, as women, the kaviri, the hair, the nails, the dress, you're like, you know what? Let me go and invest in maybe a good Bible, a good study Bible. That you have made a sacrifice. And by God sees all these things. To that detail, God will say, but you know, you sacrifice, you have given yourself to develop the thing that is in you. Glory to God. And eventually when you become excellent, you will see your reward in heaven. So, and that means that you have moved from maybe building with an inferior product to works that are actually with materials that are actually good and robust. Hallelujah. So that's what was I talking about? Yes, an evaluation of our works. 1 John 2, 28-29, please display it. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born on him. Remember, I talked about not just you losing a reward, but there is a place of shame. No swala mumasoga katonda. Yeah, it is right there. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Okay? So imagine your works have all gone up in flames. Yeah? And now you remain with so little a reward. It is a shaming. And guess what? People think that they will not know each other. We shall know each other on that day. Yeah? And that is where the shame comes from. Because we shall know each other. This Christian walk, for me, I think is the most authentic thing. There's no cutting corners. We shall see what Pastor Moses will have. We shall see what Joanne will have. Everything. It will appear before. So you won't be saying, oh, Baba, niabo. You will know. You will know what Kwezi has got. You know what Judith has got. You will know for sure. You'll say, that is Judith. Then you're like, okay. All right. That's what she has got. Okay. You will identify each other. You will know each other before the judgment seat of Christ. There's nothing like God is going to wipe your memory. Yeah? Because then, of what says, you know, do you know what it means to reward people you do not know? You won't even pay attention. Yeah? Do you know when you go for reward ceremonies, do you know what you do? You look out for, you want to hear the name of the person who you know. Okay? And that is what makes these things more, I think, of great importance. You will know people. So when you go for this reward ceremony, you're like, ha, njagala kulaba, Robin, bagenda muachi. Yeah? If you, njagala kulaba, Estone, yatu imbidanga, na watu babula, njagala kulaba. Yeah? So if someone is rewarding Esther, so when they call Esther, like, ha, yeah, then people cheer, at a reward ceremony, yeah! Hey, they cheer for you. In heaven, okay, you may not have those things of what, but you will know each other. We shall know, believers will know each other. Glory to God. Amen. And so, that means that if you lose, there will be shame. Be like, yeah, really, eh? Really. You've lost, yeah, you've suffered, but okay, we are in heaven, but my friend, eh? Yeah. Then the productive works will be rewarded. You know, those are the three things that have to take place. This is really the last thing. What rewards are we going to be given after our work has been scrutinized? After, is it inferior? Did you find out if you're actually building with silver or gold? I remember, you people, this thing is very serious. There are people, like, for example, you've been given, God has graced you. You're not in ministry, okay? Let's talk about people who have the 8-to-5 jobs, because it's the people that we minister to. For example, you're a nurse, okay? Or a midwife. You guys, you've gone to hospitals where the nurse puts a cannula on you, and you feel like she just wanted to get a brain stem. She pricks you, and you're like, but must you really be that? Yeah, you know that. And I take a more cannula, and you're like, eh. You even feel more pain from the cannula. Then sometimes when you go to these nurses and what, then there are those nice ones who take their time, and they place the cannula on. Even when you're a parent, you're like, Wama, I'll come back. I'll just come back. What time will you be? When is your shift? Then you go to the doctor and you say, now, this medicine, can we have it in that shift, in that lady's shift? Yeah? Because a mother, you're able to see these things. You are a midwife and women come in to give birth. You're supposed to treat them nicely so that you get your rewards in heaven. But you're there saying, Ani akutumayo, wateka chokababichi. You know, eh? Those things are not good. And by the way, you may have, because of your... There is a midwife who I know had like so many births, eh? Because she was so, maybe so hard, so strict on mothers, eh? So when they would come in to give birth, she azali samangu, eh? Like pa 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 kuba chapaline, azali samangu, eh? Genda, eh? Genda, eh? And then she would have so many, like at the end of the day, she would have helped like mothers, so many mothers give birth. Let's give her like 10 women give birth. All right? That's a good number. Glory to God. Then there's this one who would be very tender and compassionate to the mothers in labor. And she would have few mothers. Should, like, at the end of the day, because it takes time and investment, eh? In, hey, what? Now you wait, but breathe like this. Man, all those things take time, yeah? And at the end of the day, on her chart, she would have 4 mothers, okay? In heaven, you would think here on earth, yeah, oh, yeah, kolanyo, but according to God, actually, God could be testing that midwife in tenderness, gentleness, compassion. Glory to God. And then she goes to heaven where she had the numbers on earth. In heaven, God is like, where you didn't have any fruit of the Spirit. Here is your reward, like a tiny thing. And then, you know, that is another example I can give you. Carpenters, tailors. Yeah? You're a saloonist. Banang, you work on people's, you know, hair. But, hey, man... How many women here have experienced specific... Yeah. You go and someone pulls your hair, eh? But they pull your hair, they even push when you do like this, they even push you this side. And then, Choka, you have a salon. God has graced you. God has given you the works of your hands. Go sibabulunji nyo, yeah? As in, you can really plait hair and make a woman smart. But at what cost? The cost of a scalp, eh? You know those ones who say, oh, yeah, you have to take Panadol. That one, you have to take Panadol. Then for me, I've got feedback from my daughter who tells me, Mommy, that one, don't take me back there. I don't like that. So they overpulled my hair. I'm like, but you are smart. Like, Mommy, they overpulled my hair. I don't want to go back there. You have a salon, but you're there working on someone's head. Eh? But you're gossiping through and through. Eh? This one on your course, you know, gossiping. You're a clerk in an office. You reach office at 8. You already find a line there. Then 10 minutes later, they see you going out to take a break. Yeah? Then the line is long. You have worked on two people. And you know what you did? You just put a stamp. And you say, ah. And you know, people are like that in these offices. Eh? Say, me, I'm going for break. Oh, you're there. There is a time I went to an office, and this even my son witnessed. Eh? And I realized that you can actually tell sometimes the quality of your work from here on earth before you even reach there. Even you can say, na yo, muguru telichaina. Like that one there, eh? So there is this time I had an issue with my car. It had been clamped for the bad reasons. I go to this office at Multiplex. Huh. I find a gentleman. Now I'm going with my statement to complain, what? And I was right in my, everything I was saying was right. The moment I entered. That is how he. So I enter with my son. Saturday, I sit. Say, well, good afternoon. How are you? What? Okay. So I start to explain. So now, sir, you see my statement here. Eh? I'm starting. Now, sir, you see my statement. He gets a phone. Barije, konka barije, kabana kugambi. You know, and he was a westerner. Yeah? Barije, barije. Then, So what were you saying? Then he looks at his phone. Then he says, I told you to take that cement there. Why didn't you? Then, as he's even talking, another phone is ringing. Car number this and this. Mumusumulule. Then my son said, but mom, what are we doing here? I couldn't get in a word wise. Like, I was, sir, now my statement. Then, as we're talking, naye nakugambie, he gets another phone call. Nakugambie nze siria za nyama, eh? Sumbusa. Siria za nyama. I'm like, you know what? It is a Saturday. I've been clamped. I have just paid 60,000 shillings. Mpuli, I've paid with half of my life, eh? I told the guy, I'm like, you know what, eh? I told him, sir, because the things were endless, I didn't come here on a Saturday with my son to waste my time in your office and to waste your time. I come from far, and I want you, from the way you're treating me, it seems like this is a common occurrence in Multiplex. I became tough. And the guy said, now, when I became tough, he's like, okay, bring. So I give him my thing. But madam, your car was seen at Muganzi Ruaz. Actually, there is evidence. I'm like, hey, where is Muganzi? Even on this day, it was seen at Katwe. You parked there for an hour. I'm like, in what? In Katwe? Joan? Yeah? Then another day, I think we're even having a prayer meeting. It was, no, I was at the children's school for a seminar. He said, yeah, even on this day, you went and you parked at Colville Street. I'm like, for how long was I there? Because I knew I was at the children's school. I was attending a seminar. You were there for 3 hours. I'm like, what? So, Nempam were in that office. But by the time I left, I remember Kwezi told me that guy, mommy, wasn't serious. But you see, I could tell that for that particular work, if I was a Christian, zero in heaven. Or that he's building with straw, and that is going to be tested, and it's going to go up. So you can get away with things that in your works, in the way we serve God, you can actually get away with things. Maybe you may feel you're too important, too what, you can't do some things and what. But let me tell you, there is someone you cannot cheat. And there is someone you'll never be too important for. Jesus Christ is watching you and I, the things that we do. He's seeing every day. And that day of reckoning will come. You know when you leave someone's office and you're like, mukama ya alikusasula, you know those things. Eh? It's actually true. Yeah? It's true. When you leave someone and say, you know, for you, God will just pay you. He says, I cannot do anything. You either you treated me so bad, or sometimes when you're appreciating someone for a good job done, like, you know what? Msaba, mkwade chino batu, msaba mukama ya alikusasula. So those statements are actually literally true. Glory to God. Amen. So looking at types of rewards, there are mainly, I think, I came across three rewards, yeah? Crowns, that's number one. Number two, there is there are rewards we categorize as crowns. Then there are rewards we categorize as accolades and commendations. Then there are others that are rewards of special responsibilities and authority. So let us look at what crowns are. Yeah? James 1 and 2, different types of rewards. The first one is crowns, all right? And under crowns, there are different types of crowns. So by the time we are done with these rewards, you should be at a loss of what to work for. And yeah, what you decide what you want to work for. Amen? So the crown of life, James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. But this particular crown of life is for those that endure through suffering and temptations, okay, through a hard time. Your suffering is not in vain. Glory to God. When you stand through temptation and you need, it's not in vain. Man may never reward you, but here God is telling you that when you have endured temptation and you have been approved, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised those who love him. Revelations 2:10. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Glory to God. Our suffering, let me even put it this way, our death in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. The second crown is a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8, this is Paul saying, we used this scripture last Sunday. 4:8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. First of all, there is a crown that is associated with us loving the appearing of the Lord, like truthfully loving. When we say here in our DNA, we look forward to our soon coming king. That is a very, very heavy statement, worthy of a crown. Now, if you really look forward to his appearing, then you will live a what? A righteous life. And when you do that, guess what? You will have a crown of righteousness. Okay? Then the crown of glory. This one is for shepherds. Praise the Lord, people in ministry. Amen. Yeah? 1 Peter 5 and 4. I skipped some here. I think I skipped verse 3. But listen. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. This is Peter saying. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory, which does not fade away. This particular crown is for those that have answered a call to leadership in the ministry. Sunday school teachers. There is a crown. Worship leaders. There is a crown that we can work for. Glory to God. Pastors, evangelists, whatever you think you are in the ministry, there. There. Okay? You can work for the crown of glory. It awaits you. Amen. The next slide. Then there is a crown of rejoicing, commonly called the soul winner's crown. I pray that as you go through this very quickly, you try and think you assess yourself and place yourself somewhere. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? This one, Paul was talking about the church in Thessalonica, and that he had preached to them, and now what was waiting for him and his fellow laborers in the word of God was a crown of rejoicing. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Every time we win souls, there is a crown for you, you know? And there is a saying, I don't know if it's a saying, but that soul winner's crown, I read somewhere that it has all the souls that you have won as diadems, yeah, as jewels in there. Hallelujah. I read that somewhere. I don't know if it is true. I have never seen it. But I know that there is a soul winner's crown. So if you have two, your crown will not shine as much. Okay? If you have only one, two souls to Christ, you see for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, 1 Thessalonians. Yes, that is. We go to another type of rewards, which is accolades and commendations. We talked about crowns. Now we are talking about accolades and commendations. You see, at a reward ceremony, they are given different gifts. It's not just crowns. And I think for a long time, for me, I was just thinking only of the crowns, but also there are things that will happen. There are things that God will do for us, which come in terms of accolades and just commendations. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That is a good commendation from the Lord. And many people will hear it on that day. Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Okay? Here there is I wanted to bring out the fact about, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's a good commendation from the Lord, that you will hear that in this life, but also in eternity. Revelations 2:17. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the hidden manna to eat." Glory to God. We are going deep. Hallelujah. "I'll give the hidden manna to eat, and I'll give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name, written, which no one knows except him who receives it." This is a type of reward. Hallelujah. I do not know that white stone, what it looks like. Honestly, I wish I knew. But I know it's a gift. Yes, I know it's a gift. So, Pastor, I know it's a gift, and I know it's one of the things that we shall receive on that day as a reward. 1 Corinthians 4:5. "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, and he will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, and each one's praise will come from God." So on that day, there will be praise. Imagine the Lord praising you for the work you have done. Amen? Then the last one, the last category, I feel like I'm reading rewards at a sports event. The last category is rewards of special responsibilities and authority. Revelations 2, "For he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I'll give the power over nations." So we see that in eternity, some of us will have power to rule over nations. Not everyone will rule over nations. Amen. Matthew 19:28. "So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne," now this Jesus was speaking to his disciples, "and you have followed me, you who have followed me will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Again, special responsibilities and authority. Hallelujah. Amen. And lastly, Matthew 24:45-47. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over his goods." In eternity, there are things that, let's not even look at eternity broadly. In the millennial rule, there are people who will look after things concerning things of God, and God says, "For you, you're going to look after this. This is mine, and you're going to look after it." Glory to God. So in eternity, even these things are actually there. Amen? So more responsibility will be given to us. Amen? Amen? So as we, LHC, work towards these rewards, Let us have that in mind. Let us build with materials that are worthy, that are of quality, that meet the standard of God. Do not build with inferior materials. Glory to God. Don't do things okumaloku juzawo. There is a God who watches. There is someone who God watches and he cares. It's beyond just you showing up. It is you actually doing your best. Give God a good, good work. And you'll see your reward. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.